Good afternoon, Zachary Gordon. Welcome on VH Berries.
Thank you so much for having me, Victor. I am very excited, and I can't wait to dive in and chat with you.
I am very excited as well. How is your day currently doing?
My day is it's going very well. I had a voiceover job this morning. I can't talk about it. I'm under contract right now, but I'm very excited. I rushed home. Super excited to talk with you today, Victor. And then I've got a music studio session and then a premiere I'm going to tonight. So the day is starting off really well. I'm excited to talk with you, and it's certainly going to end well, too. So very grateful, and thanks for asking. How about your day?
My day is going well as well because your story continues to unfold every day under the protection of a secret formula and magic wand called Alakazam, Alakazooey Mama.
You got me, Victor. Now everyone knows my secret. It's Zooey Mama, and I guess it's not a secret anymore. So the cat's out of the bag, and Victor, I guess you're the one that shared my secret with the world. So I don't know how to feel about that.
Absolutely, and Zachary Gordon, I feel that it could be a producer tag that you could use whether yourself or for the music of a special composer called Max Dagan.
Ah, I see Victor's been doing his homework. So for the viewers out there, outside of the amazing three words Zooey Mama from the Diary of a Wimpy Kid film series that I'm so grateful for and grateful to be a part of, and grateful that you brought up Victor in a top secret way. Max Dagan, what he's referring to is a film I just did last month. I play a musician, and in terms of the producer tag, I don't know if I'll be putting Zooey Mama at the beginning of any of my own songs, but maybe I'll talk to the director of this movie I just did, and he might be all for it. So I'll get back to you and let you know what he says.
I would love Zachary Gordon to explore that upcoming release called Max Dagan, in which you are playing a musician. Can you tell us a little bit more about your character and also about the storyline?
Sure, Victor. I appreciate you asking. So, like I said, I finished a movie last month. It's called Max Dagan. It's got an incredible cast, incredible director. Grateful to be a part of it. And I play a musician. My name's Max, obviously. And it's about my father is in jail. He's imprisoned, and he's diagnosed with cancer. And basically, I need to convince the daughter of the person that he was accused of killing to agree to let him out on a compassionate release. A compassionate release meaning when someone is locked up, for those of you that aren't aware, might not be aware, when someone's in jail and they're sick or they only have a few weeks left to live, if you want them to live their last few weeks or last moments outside of prison, that would be called asking for a compassionate release. So again, I have to convince the daughter of the woman of the man that my father killed to agree to let him out on a compassionate release. So it's a drama. It's intense, but the coolest thing about it to me was being able to translate my music chops and my music skills as a guitar player into the film, and it was a dream come true. Not just creatively as an actor and wanting to be challenged emotionally and physically, but also being able to, again, like I said, incorporate those skills that I'm sure we'll talk about. Music and guitar has been a huge passion of mine these last few years, and I'm really taking a big step forward and releasing music in the next few months as well. So the movie came at the perfect time, and I think that's why I'm so excited to talk about it and appreciate you asking about it again.
The music is going to come at a perfect time, Zachary Gordon. And you just mentioned, for example, that specific dramatic story of your character Max that is trying to free his family member. What would you say is the position and the role of the music inside that story?
That's a great question, Victor. And I'm going to answer this without giving away the plot. I will do my best. All I'm going to say is, well, I can answer this. I just have to be, I have to be careful for those who are intrigued in checking out the movie and also for the filmmakers. But music plays a very integral part in the movie. One, because it, I would argue, quite literally saved my life. And without going into detail, I'll just say that having a guitar as a kid growing up throughout the film, it literally saved my life, being able to play well. And by the time we find Max where I am in the story and in the film, I'm a successful musician. And it's quite literally because music is all I had. Potentially not having a father, as you can imagine, who is in prison, what can you gravitate towards? And I would say that in a lot of those cases, some people gravitate towards the wrong things. You know, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be, you know, people, the wrong crowd, violence. And luckily enough for this character, I'm sure there might be some violent things that occurred during his life, you know, being angry, upset. I'm sure that would be a part of it. And also the own homework that I did while building this role for the movie. But clearly music was something that he thankfully gravitated towards. And like I said, he is a musician, technically a rock star in the film. So, and for those who want to find out more about what I mean by it quite literally saved his life, you'll have to check out the film. And I'm really, really excited for those that are intrigued about the film, curious and eager to see maybe what I'm working on today and the type of roles that I'm really trying to seek and go as far as I can when it comes to the craft.
In definitive, Zachary Gordon, everything is gravitating around those tones and those rhythm linked with music. Maybe because, as you just mentioned, music for someone who grew up with a guitar is a more powerful way to expressing himself than actual words.
Yeah, I think you're right, Victor. And ironically, that's something that I found later in my life. And I had, luckily, an outlet like acting to explore my emotions, right? You know, like you mentioned, I've been acting for a while, and you know the work that I've done. And that's a huge blessing to me. But on the flip side of that, acting isn't always there. So for example, when you are an actor, sometimes you work on a role and then you wait and you wait and you wait to get on a set again, or you have to audition and you have to fit the puzzle piece of someone else's story, view, vision. And what's really unique about music that I've found these last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years I've started to dive in, was just the idea that I can pick up a guitar whenever I want. And not that I can't do the same thing with acting. I could, you know, rehearse a scene with a friend, but it's different. Music, in a lot of ways, is a lot more visceral to me. I'm feeling a certain way, and instead of having to write a full-page scene about me and someone else, I could write a song, explore the lyrics. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm talking about, literally. And in a lot of ways, it's very therapeutic. And when you take a step back and reveal what those lyrics might have meant, what those melodies might have said without you actually saying anything, you start to really, it reveals a lot about who you are. I look at some of the songs I wrote 2-3 years ago, and without even realizing it, I was reflecting on really painful moments in my life without even talking about them, if that makes sense. You know, it's like the sky's blue, but am I really talking about the sky, or am I talking about I'm just happy to be alive? Now, that could be a song lyric, but that sounds really cliche. But you know what I mean? It's sometimes talking about things without spoon feeding it to not only yourself but the audience as well, and that's what music can do in a real visceral way.
Absolutely, Zachary Gordon. We can now say that in addition of having that magic wand, I believe that one of your secrets of creating great music is also to have a great and comfortable sofa in the middle of the recording studio.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of music studios recently with that candid sofa, and I'll tell you, I'm sure a lot of incredible songs have been written on that sofa, Victor. You know, whatever music studio that's been around for 30, 50 years, maybe even 10 years, it's all about comfort, you know, especially for me, can't speak for everyone. When I feel in an environment that I'm, hey, a comfy couch, maybe a a bed. I have a buddy that actually sleeps in his music studio. So, hey, talk about real comfort. and to each their own, you know, I think the people that run these, I'm not sure why I'm talking about music studios, but I guess just to tag a little bit about what you're saying about the couch and whatnot, or the environment in which you create, I think is so important. And I would say that the more comfortable you can feel, at least for me, the more creative you can allow yourself to be. And that also means, just as important as the scenery and the environment, who you're working with. And that can also translate to a film set as well. You know, Victor, like, what if we were uncomfortable talking with each other right now? Certainly, we wouldn't be talking. We'd be watching what we were saying. We'd be very careful with our words, you know, and that doesn't lead to a great conversation. That doesn't sound fun. And certainly, that's not what I'm interested in. And some people are. It's just all about how you want to create and what works for you. And I'm learning what I want to do to make sure that I can create in the best environment possible. And it sounds like from what I've seen in your interviews, Victor, you've got your situation down as well. You know exactly where you want to film yourself and ask questions and interview people. So kudos to you.
Furthermore, Zachary Gordon, music is the guiding forces that followed you during your entire journey. It is so illuminating and powerful that since the beginning, I am not sure if you are referring to Zach Gordon or Max Dagan. They are kinda maybe having the same personality trait.
Definitely, Victor. I think why the role is so special to me and why I'm excited for people to see the film when it comes out. Max and I both are passionate about music. In a lot of ways, like I touched on earlier, music quite literally saved both of us. Like I said, we haven't gone into it yet, but you know, when I was younger, I felt isolated, I felt alone, I felt lonely. Not because I was lonely or didn't have people around me. I felt like no one understood me. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And when I saw the opportunity to play Max in this film, not only being a successful musician, which is something I'm really aspiring to, but someone who knows his place in the world. He's respectful to others. He's kind. He's compassionate. But he also knows when to stand his ground and stand up for himself. And I think that as I've gotten older, as I've like to think matured, I've gotten a better gauge at that too. I think it was hard to stand up for myself when I was younger. I always wanted to fit in. I always wanted to, ironically, like I was saying about acting earlier, that analogy about trying to fit in the puzzle of someone else's game, vision, view. And one thing I wasn't aware of, which again, I really related to with Max, is, you know, people are going to like you or hate you for what you do. And hate's a strong word. I don't mean it in such a intense sense. I just mean that I made a decision as a young adult, a kid, to be in this industry. And I'm grateful for it every day. But when you're young and you don't have a good gauge on who you are, who you want to be, and what you want to do or what you want to say, it's really easy to fall into the pattern of trying to fit into everyone else's box, fit into their puzzle. So Max came at a time where I started to step into really who I was and who I am. And when you draw that parallel and say that we could be similar to one another, we definitely are. And I remember having a conversation with the director, and he was telling me, you know, I just want you to bring a lot of you to this role. I sometimes can get very analytical where, if you can imagine, Victor, I say, well, what's his past like? I ask certain questions. If there's a parent or a sibling that isn't mentioned in the script, I ask the writer or the director, what was their relationship like? Why aren't they mentioned in the script? What could have happened? And it's just, it helps me build the world. So when I can show up on set, I'm not thinking about things or trying to create a story that doesn't exist. I can already make that decision and just roll with it. And the director, like I was saying, had just said, I just want you to bring a lot of you. It's clear that you guys share a lot of the same journey on a different side of the coin. I'm obviously an actor, he's a musician, but we both grew up in that scene. And people that watch the movie will find that out, and I think it'll reveal itself in a really cool and special way. And like I said, really grateful that the stars are aligning, not just for me in the sense of music and acting, but really who I'm stepping into as a person and an individual. But I would argue that is because of music and acting and the things that I've been able to explore when I get the opportunity to play a role like Max and Max Dagan, or when I get the opportunity to, you know, go to the studio and sit on the comfy couch, like you were saying, and write a song that speaks to me, you know?
Absolutely, Zachary Gordon. The stars were aligning between the director, Terry Wiseman, and yourself. And I would love to explore your musical style and upcoming universe, because earlier this year you made a single called Ladies in LA, but I feel that there is a lot that is coming ahead. This is the beginning of a labyrinth and of a puzzle of meaning and emotions.
Wow, beautifully said, Victor. Thank you for one, believing that I've got a lot coming down the pipeline. One, because I do, and two, we haven't been able to chat about it, which is really nice to hear that you have that belief in me. So I don't take that for granted. So thank you. I just wanted to acknowledge that. Two, or three, I should say at this point. Man, I'm losing count. I've been working hard, Victor. I'll tell you that. I have a lot of music that will not see the light of day, but I have a lot of music that I'm fine-tuning, and I'm actually right now in the process. I think in a month and a half, I'll have my real first song out, I would consider. And it's been a tedious process, you know, it's like chipping away. You find a piece of coal, and, well, I'm trying to make an analogy about how it turns into a diamond inevitably, but it takes time, you know, it takes pressure, it takes heat. Sometimes you have to put it away and then come back to it and revisit it and look at it with a clear head. Because sometimes, Victor, I've been listening to all these songs that I'm making and I'm excited about them and the idea, or maybe we go to the next step and then finally the song feels finished, but because I've heard it so many times, I just have that voice in my head that goes, oh man, I never want to hear this song again. And that is where you have to incorporate patience. And so a lot of the time when I have these songs, like you were saying, I've got the labyrinth coming, but it's important to have a lot of different creative endeavors, and you file them away, especially in music, and then you give it some space, find something else to really hammer out. Remember the idea of what the project that you want to create is, what's the vision. This time it's my vision, my puzzle, which is the coolest thing about music. We've been talking a lot about puzzles today, haven't we? Or maybe I have. And I think I've got a lot coming, long story short, and it's really exciting for me to be able to share that new side of myself. It's exciting to me that I get to talk about it with you and that you're asking me questions about it. And I've put so much time, so much heart, so much energy into this. Tears, literally, joy, anger, and I think I hope people will hear that and resonate with that and identify with it. And most importantly, reach out to me and talk to me and hopefully share some stories that maybe they haven't been able to share with other people. You know, painful moments, the loss of friendships, the loss of family. Because I like to talk about those things, not because I enjoy sitting in pain, but I think it's important to explore moments in our lives that we don't want to explore. And I think I've been guilty of doing that for a long time. Not out of fear or wanting to avoid, but just not realizing that it was something that I needed to do, something that I needed to face. And music, Victor, music has really been giving me more than years of therapy ever would. Not knocking therapy either, you know, I'm just saying that there's something about sitting down and creating something and not thinking about where it's going to go. And when I'm talking with someone, there's still that little voice that's guiding me when I'm in a scene. The goal is to find that tunnel vision. That's what I refer to it as, where you're in the scene, you're focused, and you don't even remember what happened because you're just following the emotion. But for me, music, I never know what's gonna happen, what's gonna come out of my mouth, what I'm gonna say, what I'm talking about, because it's all from emotion, and I'm really just riding the wave, and I have control of where it goes. So I think that a little bit of a longer tangent, but yes, I'm excited to release my music. I'm excited for people to hear it. And I am certainly excited to hear your thoughts as well, Victor. So we'll have to keep in touch too.
In definitive, Zachary Gordon, you are keeping the control in the tunnel vision. And I would love to know more about, for example, your writing and recording habits in the recording studio. Do you have a favorite time in the day to record? How do you stay creative? And more importantly, at what time do you record in the day?
Sure. That's a great question, Victor. I wouldn't consider myself very, very, very experienced in the sense of I'm going 5 to 7 days a week to the studio. I'm still learning what those habits are. I've been in the studio a lot, making a lot of music this last year, really. And my habits have changed as I've started to figure out when I have the most creativity. And that used to be during the nighttime. I used to be quite a night owl. I'd stay up till 3, 4 a.m. letting creativity, I download it from the universe is how I think a lot of people like to refer to it as. And I'm starting to realize when I'm working with other musicians who have lives of their own, who have spouses, children, potentially things they need to do in their lives, I can't show up at the studio at 2 a.m. and record. So what that process usually looks like is I will have, they're called sessions, where I meet with a songwriter potentially, or I come up with a song in my room. It could be when I wake up in the morning. It could be sometimes actually in the middle of the night, I wake up and I have an idea and I just force myself to work through it. Or when I listen to a sad song or see a movie and I'm inspired, I just try to follow that wave, because the inspiration isn't always there. And it's a myth that you wait for the inspiration, you have to fight through it as well. But when it comes, you got to ride that wave, like I was saying. So it's all over the place, Victor. But basically, I'm after this, I have a session. So that'll be in the afternoon, a couple of hours. Normally, though, it would be 6 to 8 hours. But because I have a film premiere I have to go to, it'll be, I don't know, 4 hours. And there's different types of sessions as well. For example, you want to, when you're funding your own music endeavors, or sometimes you have a record label involved, these things cost money. So the people you work with, you have to pay for their time, or maybe they are wanting to invest in you and therefore they'll own a percentage of what you're working on. There's no right way to do it. You know, it's just what works for you. So I think in my case, it's about figuring out when I need to go to a studio, you know, a big room to record, and budget out how much I want to put in per this song, how much time we have, how can we maximize the time that we are going to be in this recording studio. And other times, how we can get around that so we're all saving our money, or if it's just my money, or if it's a record label's involved, their money, you know? So I think that's when I would write and flesh out a lot of the ideas at my house. I can do that in the middle of the night. I can do that in the morning. But then if it's time to go to get the best recordings we can, we've sat at someone else's house and picked out the best vocal takes or the best drum takes, or, hey, you know, we need a guitar player to come into the studio. I don't know how many guitar players are going to be coming in at 3 a.m, but maybe if we have a session at 1 p.m, what about traffic? You know, what if we need them now? Well, some people aren't available. So it's all over the place, which is what I love about music, is like, it's really all about how many people you know and who you're excited to work with and how you make it work under your vision. And there's always a way to make it work. It's just like figuring out what works best for you. And so, like I was saying, Victor, long story short, I'm finding out what works for me as I now allow other people into my creative circle who also help me bring out that creative flow that I think sometimes can come out on my own when I'm writing, but having someone else play a certain melody that maybe I haven't discovered on the guitar yet. You know, I'm great at being a singer and songwriting, but someone who grew up being a guitar player for 2 decades can play certain things that I can't yet. Hopefully I can, but when we come together and we figure out each other's schedules, something beautiful and magical is created. And I just love music, Victor. It's been the most incredible thing and incredible journey these last 4 or 5 years since I started. And now it's finally happening. I mean, it's a dream come true.
This is finally happening, Zachary Gordon. And when you said those two very powerful words, night oil, I am immediately thinking of a fictional character called Greg Heffler, who is, for example, at the beginning of the first feature film, waking up at the wrong time, but more importantly, on the wrong week.
Yeah, I think luckily Greg isn't a musician. I'll tell you what, if he woke up at the wrong day, Victor, and he had a music studio session and he missed it, he'd still be paying for that. So luckily for Greg's case, it was just the wrong day at school. But I guess that's what happens when you have an older brother who just wants to mess with you. And I actually have two of those in real life. But I think we've all grown up from that stage of wanting to get on each other's nerves and really. Luckily, wanting to help each other grow and get to where we all know we can get to. So, in that sense, you know, Greg got the short end of the stick. But hey, I was there too. I was the youngest of three boys, and I certainly had my fair share of Roderick moments when I was younger.
I completely rely and agree, because I would say that even if Greg is not a musical person, he would still stay late at night to maybe finish the homework that are required at the Westmore Middle School.
Well, when you mean finish, you mean he could finish the homework, but he'd probably just find a way to get around not finishing it. So he'd do all the time and research it would take to finish the homework in order to not have to do it. So that sounds a little bit more like Greg, but you gotta love him.
I would love to discuss about those film series called Diary of a Wimpy Kid, because just before you mentioned that you had a very special time navigating those year and growing up. Can you tell us a little bit more about how it got all started?
Yeah, Victor. Man, how much time do you have? So here's the thing. Wimpy Kid was... I was about 10 or 11 years old when... 10 when I started the audition process, 11 when I got the role, but it was, I think, a period of 8 or 9 months of me just going back and auditioning, and at one point I wasn't involved in the project, and then I was, and then I wasn't. And I was just this young kid, you know? I just wanted to hang out with my friends, have fun, and eat candy. But, obviously, the time had come for me to grow up and, quote-unquote, be a man. More importantly, just play Greg in the film series. So grateful for that opportunity, especially as I get older and I reflect on it. Just in the sense of how I'm talking with you, however many years later after I did that film. And you know, you've watched the films, other people have watched the movie series, and it sounds so cliche, Victor, but words really can't describe how that makes me feel. Because who I was is not who I am today. And it's just like this gift that keeps on giving, where I'll be walking on the street or I'll go to a restaurant and people just light up. They just smile. And I'm standing there. I'm doing absolutely nothing. And they're just happy to see me and meet me because of a character I played when I was 11. I'm 12, 13. And that's powerful. That's really special. And I think for a long time, I didn't know how to respond to that. It made me uncomfortable, made me want to hide from the rest of the world, and it made me nervous. I felt like there was a lot of pressure on my shoulders. But going back to your question, I guess I got off a little tangent just because, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, just how lucky I am. Not just to be able to go after my dreams as a musician, to continue working as an actor, to talk with you, but forever I've got this movie series that people still love watching, and it brings families together. I'm going to be watching it with my family someday, and who knows how I'll be feeling about it then. Probably feeling it on a much deeper level than I am even now, and I feel like I've finally gotten to a place where I can appreciate it for what it was. That being said, it was a long audition process, and it was obviously some of the best years of my life. I got to film in Vancouver, Canada every summer for 3 summers. Made lifetime friends. I still talk with most of the cast consistently. I actually went to Nashville to record music with Grayson Russell, who plays Fregley. I was with him 2 months ago. Then I had to film the movie. And before then, I was with him 5 months ago. He's an incredible musician, by the way. Incredible. He's been playing since he was 6 years old. He's the lead singer of a band. He's working on his debut album as well. And talk about another way that people can connect is through music as well. But I thought that would be a cool little thing to mention, that we're still best friends. We make music together. Robert and I, Robert who plays Rowley, we work on scripts together. I saw him a month ago too. We keep in contact. We talked over the weekend. So Wimpy Kid, outside of being a lot of fun, being a movie series that people enjoy watching today, which again has nothing to do with me. I mean, well, I played the role, but I was just chosen and I'm grateful for that, you know, and I just happened to be a part of that incredible story that Jeff Kenney created. But I think the cherry on the top is that I'm still friends with these people, and not just friendly in passing, but we work together. We make each other better human beings, better artists, and we inspire each other and motivate each other. So Wimpy Kid has given me a lot more than just a way to connect with people, but it's also given me lifelong friends. So I don't know how much more you can ask for. And it could have been a lot of work. It was. But at the same time, I was 11 and I had people there to help me. And I think for whatever reason, I was given this incredible blessing, this incredible opportunity. And it's now really up to me to decide how I respond to that gift and how I can give back to the people that have, you know, taken the time to watch the movies, support me, listen to my music, just put a comment on my Instagram, you know? And, you know, it's so funny. Last night I was actually, Victor, I was in a studio session and someone was like, is that you answering all these comments on your Instagram? Like, who's answering those for you? And I'm like, that's me. I sit down for 4 hours and I answer as many people as I can, because it, like, it sounds so cliche. It just means so much to me. Like, that people, I know how valuable your time is. I know how valuable my time is. I know how valuable people's time is, just in general. And like the fact that people are sitting down, looking at my Instagram, liking it, commenting something, like, it just blows my mind that, I don't know. I'm especially after last week, you know, just trying to be grateful for a lot of things in my life and reflecting. And I always really have been. I've worked hard at that, but now more than ever, and especially as I'm doing music, realizing that, like, I already have at least 10 people that are going to listen to it, you know, and that's something to be grateful for, you know? So long story short, Wimpy Kid's been an incredible blessing and it just keeps on giving to me.
At least 10 monthly listeners, Zachary Gordon and Diary of a Wimpy Kid definitely gave you lifetime friends, as you just mentioned, but also on a very positive side, pushed you to learn numerous skills that is now part of your pockets. In the back of your jacket. I am talking about those skills.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Victor. I had to learn how to play tennis for Wimpy Kid. I had to learn how to roller skate, things that I probably would have never picked up and haven't picked up in a while. But I'm sure that if I really wanted to dive back in, it would be easier for me to learn. And I actually had this realization recently that, like, filmmaking, one thing I love about it outside of just making lifelong friends, like I was telling you, and meeting people, that the coolest thing is you really get to learn things that maybe you normally would have never thought about learning. And that's just a cool little perk about it. You know, sometimes if you do a movie and you have to, I don't know, play a superhero or something, or I'm not good with, I don't want to say like shooting weapons or, you know, using nunchucks and stuff like that. I don't know who is, whoever they are. Hey, congratulations. That's a really useful skill when it comes to filmmaking. and action films and things like that in combat. And I think if when someone's given that opportunity and when it's sort of wild to think about, you get cast in a movie and then they pay for you to learn, at least the studio, obviously, if you're learning how to use nunchucks or playing tennis, or I don't know why I chose nunchucks, play tennis. I've been watching a lot of kung fu movies recently, Bruce Lee stuff too. Basically, they're investing in you to bring that vision to life, but you get to learn the skill. And then it's really up to you to continue to water that skill, to craft it, to hone it. It's almost like being born with a talent, you know, like you can only take a talent so far if you're not constantly working on it, you know? I don't know where I went with that, but the point is filmmaking allows you to learn skills that maybe you normally wouldn't pick up on your own. And sometimes it forces you to look outside of your own little box and see that maybe you can do a lot more than you think you're capable of potentially.
Absolutely, Zachary Gordon. And two hidden skills that you forgot to mention are actually wrestling and also throwing snowballs on your best friend, Robert Caprant.
I did learn how to do some wrestling in Wimpy Kid. Thank you for reminding me. Talk about another skill. And that was really fun too, going to wrestling lessons with Grayson and a couple of other cast members, just so we wouldn't hurt each other, you know? Because almost knowing how to do the thing well allows you to not hurt yourself, injure others. So it's especially if I don't think in any of the films I was good at anything. So it's pretty ironic that I had to learn how to do it all to pretend that I wasn't good at it. So I think that's something to watch out for too when you're looking at films. And then in terms of throwing snowballs, man, I had a lot of practice as a kid. I used to go up to the snow with my family and friends. And I'm sure you can tell by watching the Wimpy Kid films or any other films I did when I was younger, I was a troublemaker. Man, besides throwing snowballs and trying to, you know, cause some problems, obviously not in a harmful way. I wasn't throwing rocks, you know, I was only throwing snowballs. But let's just say I had some practice, Victor, before I shot that scene. Especially with two older brothers.
Especially with your two older brothers. And Zachary Gordon, what pieces of advice would you give to your younger self?
That's a lot. I think, plain and simple, know your values. Know what you're willing to compromise. If something like that does exist, ask questions. Why are you acting? Why are you making music? What's your motivation? And not to maybe get some answers you don't intellectually want to hear, but it's important to know those things. And if you sit down with yourself and ask yourself questions, hey, why am I hanging out with this friend? Why am I not doing my homework to the level that I know that I should be? Maybe the opposite. Why am I an overachiever? What am I searching for? What makes me happy? I know they're little intellectual questions for maybe a 10, 11, 12-year-old, but I think it's important to ask yourself as many questions as you can, because it allows you to protect yourself. It allows you to know yourself. It allows you to set boundaries. So when you know what your values are and you make a new friend, you know where those boundaries and are and what lines there aren't to cross. And I think as you grow up in, I think any field, especially in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of testing that takes place, you know? What am I willing to do to fit in? When I was an actor and I was a kid growing up, I luckily I didn't do anything horrible at all, but you know, I know friends of mine that didn't know how to navigate being a child actor. You know, they didn't have siblings, they didn't have parents, and sometimes they fell into the wrong crowd. They didn't know what their values were. They didn't know why they were doing what they were doing. They just wanted to either run away, escape, blend in, fit in. And I think if you just take a little bit of time to try and understand these things and at least make a choice and stick with it, it's a lot easier to navigate life. because then you start to see what you like about yourself, and then you also start to see things that you go, huh, I don't know if I like that about myself. Maybe I should try and change that. But it's important because no one's going to look out for you like you. That's the truth. So just make sure you're kind to yourself. Make sure you're, and when you're kind to yourself, you're kind to others. So really what I've started to learn is the reflection of how you treat people is really how you treat yourself. And so basically it's just one of those things where ask yourself questions, be honest with yourself, as honest as you can be. And being alone for the right reasons is better than not being alone for the wrong reasons. So those friends that you think really have your back, but sometimes you don't feel like they're standing up for you, probably not best to be around them. And that's a scary decision to make, but I think when I was younger, I tried to fit in a lot with people, and it was really to my detriment because it forced me to dim my light to try to blend in, when in reality, you have to protect that spark. You have to protect the things that make you you, that make you stand out, and those things that people might not like or not relate to doesn't necessarily reflect you. It just ultimately reflects the relationship that they have with themselves. So that's why it's important that you try and have the best relationship that you can with yourself. Like I was saying, not in a selfish way, in a way where you know how you want to operate in the world, because the world's always going to throw things at you. When it even comes to good things, success, it's going to tempt you with things that's when you really have to ultimately decide, who am I in the face of not just adversity, but and all the riches and the spoils. So I think it's important to find the truth and get to the bottom of all these things as soon as you can. And the sooner you can answer these questions, why am I doing what I'm doing? Do I like what I'm doing? Do I like the people I'm around? Am I comfortable? Am I afraid of being uncomfortable? You know what I mean? There's two sides to each coin. And then when you start to peel back the layers, you start to learn a lot of things about yourself. And then that's where real change and growth can happen and manifest itself. And at least that's what I found at my mere 24 years of age. And I'm still learning and growing. And I'm excited to answer a lot more of those questions so then I can continue to follow the path of who I truly want to be and allow it to reveal itself, you know, and actively work towards it, because waiting for things to happen isn't always going to be the best recipe for not only success or happiness or whatever fulfills you, but ultimately deciding who you want to be. And then that helps you decide what you need to do to get to where you want to be, whether you want to or not. And I always like to think the universe opens up its doors when you start to acknowledge that you're not doing the things that maybe you want to do, but you need to do. And a lot of things start to reveal themselves in a positive way. At least that's what I am learning.
Protecting that spark and asking yourself quality questions. Thank you, Zachary Gordon.
Thank you so much, Victor. I appreciate your time and appreciate the conversation, and look forward to chatting again sometime.